Arr, Grog.
Should we talk Brian Ferry then?
I was upset that she had Jackie magazine and so did I. Now look.
We'll see what happens, Kerry. We'll see. We might not have time to discuss it. You never know.
You can use that jingle that you, where you are Brian Ferry.
Oh.
I can't remember what that was even for. It was really good.
It was shite talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I think there has to be, surely there has to be a new jingle about Kerry being...
Shula. Shula Warbis.
Is this the start to the podcast? Kerry, I'm Peter Fickling. I'm here with Kerry Hebden Lloyd and Matthew Weir.
F*** you.
I mean, that can be the start to the pod if you want.
Yeah, why not?
So, Kerry, let's just pull the sticking plaster off. Mm-hmm. How brutal was it to hear that you share not only a love of Jackie magazine, but also musical taste of Shula Hebden Lloyd?
Well, I'm shook. And I laughed, and then I cried, and then loads of Twitter people were going, ping, 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 Warbis isn't going to like this. I hate everybody, and I am Shula. Okay, maybe I f***ing am Shula. Maybe I f***ing am Shula. Yeah, 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 I f***ing am Shula.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I hate her. And people do say that there is a correlation between those characters you hate and yourself. And I've always gone, no. But please, I'm not Shula. Can you tell me I'm not Shula?
I would love to stick the boot in, as you know, but I can't. That's too much. No, you're nothing like Shula. Apart from anything else, the reason we hate Shula the most is she's a massive hypocrite. She doesn't do what she says. And you... The one thing we can say about you, Kerry, is you are honest as the day is long.
Oh, thank you. I am. And she's very indecisive, and I don't think I am indecisive. She can't decide anything, can she? Let's face it. I have got quite a large arse, though, and so is she. So.
Have you ever fallen off a donkey?
I've never been on a donkey.
Have you ever made a very cringeworthy pass at a sort of 60-something-year-old pig farmer? That was really unpleasant, wasn't it, yesterday when she was kind of like a sidling up to Neil and he didn't know where to look.
What did you think about his answer when he went, oh, no, that's all forgotten. You know, if we can't deal with that as friends, what can we deal with? Did you think he was thinking, I love you, Shula?
No.
Inside.
Do you remember when Susan said, you've got feelings for Shula, and he's like, I have not, and you know how I might only ever have thought of you, Susan. And so maybe he really has never really quite understood Shula's feelings, and it really was one way.
The only thing I remember about that confrontation is she went, you made lasagna, and it's quite a complicated dish.
Yeah, that's the mark of someone's lust for someone else, isn't it, in Ambridge?
I don't want to boast, but someone's got a co-op lasagna sitting in the fridge for after the podcast. It's the kind of guy I am.
Such an amazing lover.
You're a complicated man, Peter.
Can I just say, before we drift slightly away from Shula, which hopefully we will do, I'm going to see Roxy Music in October. I wonder if I'll bump into her there.
The static electricity from those beige cardigans all rubbing together in the mosh pit is going to be insane.
Me and her fighting over each other on stage to get at Brian.
Brian Ferry, I want to say he is from the kind of Yorkshire northeast kind of borders, or some town around there. It's like he's not a
Sunderland.
No, he's not from Sunderland. I know.
I'm joking, because that's where Shula's going.
He's from the same town as a friend of mine. Is it Darlington?
Somewhere like that.
It is in the northeast, like, isn't it?
Yeah, a colleague of mine grew up in Darlington, and I think he said Brian Ferry's from where he is. But, you know, Brian Ferry, bit of a fox hunting Tory, isn't he?
Oh, well, you can excuse anything with him. I don't care. He could eat live babies. I don't mind.
Oh, it says he was born in Washington, so...
County Durham.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, anyway, she's going to Sunderland to hunt down Brian Ferry. All this shit about helping drug addicts. Nonsense.
Yeah, I did. All week, I mean, obviously, I'm incredibly biased, but... It does feel like, you know, you could quite easily travel back 120 years and it could be some Victorian woman boasting about her, you know, trip to, you know, a mentor and teach the natives in some far-flung, you know, colony.
She used the word valise. It's exactly that sort of image, isn't it? I know that was about Mark, but she was talking about how many cases she didn't want to turn up with. And I did have visions of those huge ones, where, you know, when someone gets off a steam train in a Hercule Poirot episode and they've got loads and loads of big cases, trunks full of beige cardigans. But who uses valise?
I think I'm going to guess it's Kerry Davis trying to very carefully put that idea in our head. I hope that, you know, because Shula, I feel like she's written to be either loved by very vanilla people or loathed by all right-thinking people. And sorry to all you Shula fans if I've just called you vanilla, but, you know, you did it first, you loved her first.
I did like when Brian said, well, if the bottom falls out of the Church of England, you could always become a humanist or a druid. Surely you have to be a human to be a humanist in the first place. It's one of the key criteria.
I did put something about, you know, the quiz questions were about Shula. I put on Twitter something like, why is Shula? That's the question. And the answer was, no idea. And then it was, correct.
I was struck at that point. I was kind of half shoveling food into my face, half listening. And the only thing I thought I could type is like, is Shula a twat? And then I thought, no, that's just it's just such route one.
Anyway, forget Shula. What about Dan and his reappearance coming out of a horse box or whatever it was?
Well, when you open a horse box, there's only two things you generally see, isn't it? A load of horse shit or a horse's ass. And we got both of them together in Dan.
The shit and the ass.
Yeah, desperately disinteresting Dan is back.
You liked him, didn't you, Peter?
So I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the pod before, but my dad was in the army. So I grew up around the army and, you know, used to go do sporting events with sort of squaddies, used to hang around in the mess. So I've got a fairly well-rounded perspective on the army. I'm neither a fan nor against it. But one thing I do know, and most, is that people in the army who have a massive boner for being in the army are some of the worst human beings on earth. And the scene when Dan was trying to kind of like jokily, but not really jokily, boss Shula around about her packing is one of the most stomach-churningly awful things I've ever heard in my life.
We could tell from your tweets it was hurting, wasn't it?
I don't think I was alone. It got quite a big response.
It was like, my men's ears would be bleeding if I found their barracks like this.
Mm. I wonder how his men would feel being referred to as his men, for starters.
And also, he said the first thing we learn, I mean, this might be true, I don't know, the first thing we learn at soldier school or whatever it's called was folding clothes.
Bollocks, is that the first thing you learn?
I've told you about my dad's first day at soldier school. So my name's Peter Fickling, my dad's name's Nick Fickling, and when he turned up, he was put in a room with a man called Dick Nicklin.
Stop it!
No, seriously, I've met Dick, and obviously they did it on purpose, but yeah, that was his first, that was my dad's first, the first thing he learned was he was sharing a room with Dick Nicklin. Yeah.
Can your dad fold clothes really well?
The thing that my dad took out of the army was he did lots of skiing, lots of running, and that was it. I've never. Do you know what? I don't think you did get clothes folding, sheet folding.
Mm.
Yeah.
All those apple pie beds or whatever they are. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird, wasn't it? He kept going on and on about it. He tried to be nice to Shula, didn't he? And encouraging and saying, you know, just be yourself. And I thought, that's not very good advice, is it? The men in his regiment are from all sorts of backgrounds. Just, you know, they just need to trust you.
Some are Islamophobic, some are racist, some are just plain old sexist, all different kinds of men.
I heard that the men in his regiment call him the Ambridge bullet magnet, but I don't know.
Bullock or bullet?
Bullet. I can imagine, yeah, I can imagine him like, you know, his men shooting him. The first sign of trouble.
He was fantasizing when he was at Mark's gravestone. He was saying about there, you know, he wondered about there being an alternate universe, like a multiverse. And I was thinking, could we have a multiverse where you don't exist, mate? And maybe, and tonight I felt like we were in it because Shula was massively popular and everyone loves her and everyone's crying. And I don't know anyone who listens to The Archers that feels like that.
I mean, there are those, aren't there? They're sort of, they're not like us, Matthew. I did like it when Shula said that she doesn't want to come across as some kind of clueless horsey woman. Oh, that's not going to pan out well, is it?
Sorry, going back to what you just said, Kerry, I'm currently doing all the copy for my new website with a guy that I'm going to be working with, and we've agreed that our policy is to write copy that basically weeds out so that we don't have to work with them. And I feel like that's what that's what we talked about when we set up the cider shed originally. Yep. That the name gives a very, very strong clue as to what kind of Archers fans we want listening.
Yes.
It's not called, what would be the opposite, the exact opposite from the village?
The Village Shop.
Yeah, it's not called The Village Shop.
The Ambridge Parish Council.
Precisely.
F off, Jackie Weaver.
Yeah, you can listen to that sort of stuff somewhere else.
You have literally no authority here.
Exactly. Jackie Weaver can do one.
She put some sort of horrible thing about the sentimentality of the NHS today. She's on that Who Wants to Be a Prime Minister programme, isn't she?
Yeah, I want to watch that because it's Alistair Campbell's doing it with, is it Baroness, what's her name? I can't remember her name. But anyway.
I'm not sure.
But yeah, but I really wanted to watch it because I've been listening to his politics podcast, which is absolutely fantastic. And then, yeah, I saw she was on it and my heart fell. I did immediately think, oh, God, you know, if she's saying about being sentimental with the NHS. But then I did think that could have two meanings and maybe she's just been imprecise. So I did kind of give her the benefit of the doubt.
But she was saying she's not into the sentimentality about the NHS.
But that could be because, I mean, I hate defending Jackie Weaver, Kerry, you know, but it could be like, for instance, I didn't like the false sentimentality where people like Boris Johnson were banging pans and then not having, you know, not wanting substantive change to actually support the people in
okay.
it.
Okay. So, yeah. We'll watch it then, shall we? I never banged a pan myself.
No. I mean, I would say almost certainly if it's Jackie Weaver, she's saying the wrong thing, but I went against my normal instincts, try to be reasonable.
So you've never banged a pan, Kerry? I guess you didn't either, Peter.
Lots of people around me did, but I, from the very beginning, I sat at home getting very angry with everyone around me.
It's so performative, isn't it? I don't like that sort of thing. I love the NHS. It's sacred and should be protected and managed well. I mean, God, we could have a whole few hours talking about that, couldn't we?
Well, there was someone made a meme of a nurse at a checkout asking the girl, do you take applause?
Exactly.
We are going a bit Matthew and Peter. So
yeah.
All right. Just one more thing about Shula hate before we go back to the Dan hate was when she said that she did question her faith after Mark died. And then she said she realised everything is transient. Only God is eternal?
Yeah.
And I thought only the process of you getting the f- out of Ambridge is a turn. It's been going on for like 6 weeks.
Yes, Matthew, I tweeted exactly that. I said, God's not as eternal as you leaving Ambridge.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that done though now?
I bloody hope so. I liked it when she said what everything Mark did was like a military operation. And I was imagining them at it. Obviously.
Yeah, I thought about that.
And in and out. And in.
Halt!
20 more, Shula. 24 more. Hold still. 19. Up!
I tell you what, I did wonder, I fantasised two things. One of them was that I thought Shula might die in a car accident on the M6.
I thought that too, because didn't they say something about, just didn't Jim say a shockingly ridiculous way to die, a car crash? Along those lines.
Mm.
How about Shula goes completely mad and goes wild, and Paul Gascoigne ends up going to try and track her down with a chicken and a carrier bag full of
fishing rod.
Rounds, yeah, a fishing rod.
Or she gets in with the druggies and takes loads of drugs. And there was a brilliant tweet someone put about her returning with like one tooth on crutches in some beat up old car. Yeah, it was f-ing brilliant.
Hello, Shula. Come on, Jim, I'll make you feel real good. Just, oh, Shula, oh, get off me. Oh, no.
Exactly.
I'll have that version of Shula back in a second. So basically, Shula's gone and they've replaced her with a copy and paste with Dan. And the thing that really upset me was the moment when there was a slight connection between him and Chelsea, and then they were hinting so unsubtly, you know, like if Chelsea does have the baby, then there's going to be the whole generational thing. And, you know, like, not generational. He's learnt from his experiences with Alistair and Mark, and maybe he wouldn't be put off by the fact that she's got a baby.
Yes. Yeah.
10-year age gap, isn't there?
Half plus seven. She's 17. So What's that?
He is 27. So if it's half plus seven, then.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's in the zone.
Well, I don't want him to be in the zone, to be honest, because stick around.
He's not sticking around, is he?
You don't think so?
No, he's on post-operational tour leave at the moment, that's all.
Which someone on Twitter seemed to think meant he was trans.
Yes. What,
the post-operational?
Yeah.
No, the operation was to remove his personality.
Yeah.
That's gone well.
Yeah, okay, well, medical science is an incredible thing.
He's been in Estonia as well, hasn't he, as part of NATO's enhanced forward presence. So I was wondering if he's going to single-handedly strangle Putin.
Oh, maybe. That would be a hell of a plot twist.
Do you know what? I will forgive Dan all of his transgressions if he takes down Putin. I think that'll be a fair exchange.
All right. Speak for yourself, Novichok boy. Just kidding, Vlad, if you're listening. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. You know, you've got, you know, you've still got connections down in his favourite part of the world, Salisbury.
Yes.
I'm half Latvian, so, you know, down with him.
Yeah, very much down with him. Oh, we've always got such controversial opinions, don't we? Not Putin fans. Look at us. Incredible.
Talking about controversial opinions, I did like it when Chelsea turned round and said, like, you and Alistair aren't lucky to have Dan. He's lucky to have you. I was like, yes, Chelsea. You tell him. But I did, I mean, I did ask tonight the question in the Bull, is there another Dan that Jim is talking about? I'm just, you know that, it's very much memed now, isn't it? In I'm Alan Partridge, when he sees the swinger bathroom, kitchen salesman on the other side of the park, and he's like, Dan, that's the polar opposite of what happens when someone who sees Dan Head Deloitte in a car park.
They hide behind the car.
And start shouting, Nad, and getting quieter.
Yeah, why was the tea room open on funeral day?
Because Fallon is a Republican stunner.
my local Ponty shop was open for similar reasons.
A what shop?
My Ponty kind of middle class shop. The only Ponty middle class shop in Catford.
Was
open for business because I think they had similar attitudes.
Nice.
Like, yeah, we don't go in for all of this, so we're just going to stay open. Thank you very much.
Hey, where was Fallon singing? She was singing at the naming ceremony, wasn't she?
Was she? Is this a joke? Cause...
No, no, I'm not. They said that Fallon was going to be doing the singing.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
Should we just get the naming ceremony out of the way as quick as possible?
Yeah, I like the way they were checking all the details of it at the very last minute.
Yeah.
They were just like, oh, yeah, that's okay. But yeah, Fallon was definitely up for doing a few numbers, apparently.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
I might have dreamt it.
What would she have sung?
I don't know, but obviously they didn't want Jolene showing up doing like Dolly Parton numbers. So I don't know what Fallon would have sung, but she was in Dross, wasn't she? Or whatever they were called.
Oh, yeah. Jolene is absolutely appalling at singing, isn't she?
Mm.
Although I love her as a character.
I remember the first time I heard Jolene singing and I was like, "They, you've got to be shitting me." Right? They should have Audrey Hepburn to the actress and said, "Look, you are amazing at what you do, but, you know, to make this credible."
Yeah, wheel in someone who can sing.
Yeah. Toya, maybe.
Yes. When she first sang, I remember someone tweeted on the tweet along, she sounds like she's been trodden on by a Mont Belliard.
That's not a really very favourable review, is it?
No. That would be like 4 stars.
So anyway, everyone, that was naming ceremony chat. On to the next topic.
I did hope it was going to be maiming ceremony.
Yeah, you were hoping for some Hunger Games style massacre, weren't you?
Were they just tying, basically, was that the whole purpose of that, just to tie off the whole Alice and Chris thing with a bow? Just have it done. Okay, so Neil's now talking to Brian again, and Alice and Chris, happy families. And obviously we found out that Alice can be running the stables after all, and Lillian was just mad.
Yeah, and Shula can do her, life isn't one smooth story, it's chapters or 13-minute episodes with a big one every 7 days.
She did also mention we sometimes find ourselves thrust into parts we don't like.
Who were?
Yeah. And then she said, and then someone said afterwards that they had to reach for the tissues.
was she sort of looking at Neil and sort of with her finger in her mouth at that moment?
Oh, but the idea of Shula being coquettish. Oh, I've dropped my wallet, Neil. You know.
Oh, I appear to have dropped my green lasagna dish. Yeah,
bit of Roxy music playing in the background.
Yeah, roll me in sawdust and look for the wet bits, Neil. Ooh. That was a very beautiful image there.
Also, I like the bit where Chris and Alice were like, well, this is all great, isn't it? Everything's fantastic. And then one of them went, where's Martha?
Yes.
But it was like, oh, he left her down the playground on the slide again. Nothing bad happened last time.
It was a David Cameron moment, wasn't it? He left his kids in a pub garden or something, didn't he? Get in a car and just drive off.
It was in the pub. Yeah. But it was the posh Cotswolds pub where, you know, Jeremy Clarkson and all that lot go.
Chipping Norton. That's where they all live.
Yeah.
Not far from where I am right now, actually.
Mm. Well, as you know, I am born in the Cotswolds. So, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, but not of the manor born, but, you know, I was born under the, I was technically born in Swindon, but the night I immediately...
I know, Peter, when I mentioned that to him, he was like, I'm not from Swindon, I was just born there.
Not from Swindon, they're quite clear.
It's on your birth certificate.
I'd give anything to have that removed from my birth certificate, because I was immediately whisked, but I've never been back. That was the closest hospital. Anyway.
I love this about you, Peter.
So you were about to say, what were you going to clarify your place of birth then? Not Swindon.
The White Horse, underneath the White Horse.
Uffington.
Yeah, Uffington.
Remember when you told me that, I imagined that your parents were wild hippies and you were literally born inside the lines of the White Horse. It was only afterwards you explained to me that you were born in Swindon General. and then you drove to Uffington. I had all these kind of shamanic images of your parents, you know, dancing under the moonlight.
His dad's in the bloody army or whatever. I didn't know that then, did I? Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, my dad was stationed nearby, but they're from that neck of the woods anyway. And then they rented a room above a dairy, literally, you know, a dairy, a proper, not a Jenny and a Brian sort of Arga-filled redone dairy, but an actual functioning cows downstairs dairy. So,
right.
Yeah. Mm. There you go. So proper. Anyway, the point. This is a very long-winded way of me saying I'm not part of the Chipping Norton set.
All right. Kerry's not Shula, and you're not part of the Chipping
I'm
Norton set.
I'm not David Cameron, yeah. And who do you not want to be, Matthew?
Give me till the end of the show and I'll give you an answer.
Okay.
George.
Actually, no. Right now, I don't want to be Ben.
Yes.
You sent that film on Twitter and in our WhatsApp. You literally are currently in Ambridge, it looks like.
It's a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're not George or Ben, yeah.
No, I'm not. But there is a postbox right outside the village shop as well, which wasn't on fire, but instead has a really weird crocheted queen and her corgis.
Oh God. Set that on fire.
Obviously, this can't be. This is imprecise because you're not like anyone in the Archers. But which family would you be?
Mm.
I'd like to think the Carters.
Okay.
Oh.
So you're Susan, Kerry Shula, and I'm. I guess that makes me Justin if I'm part of the Chipping Norton set. Bloody hell!
Oh, Peter, that's not nice. Is
yeah,
it?
I've lost that one, haven't I? I've lost out. Never mind.
I see you as Jim.
Oh, thank you. That's unnecessarily kind of you, but you know, I've had a bad day. I'll take it.
But now I'm going to have to deal with the fact that I'm going to have to fight off Kerry coming round for my man.
It does hold a little bit of water because you are one hell of a gossip, Matthew.
Oh, I hope you can back that up.
I can.
You know, Christ alive, yeah.
Me and you, Matthew, our WhatsApp conversations.
Exactly, yeah, I only see like the tip of the iceberg on the stuff that you two get up to.
Well, bless you. You don't want to get involved in our...
No, I absolutely don't. I've got...
We haven't even talked about The Thing.
The Thing? Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, do you know what? We've been complete hypocrites. They left us hanging for weeks and weeks and weeks to finally tell us that it was Freddy. Oh, no, it wasn't, was it? It was...
Jim.
Yeah, Jim. Oh, well, you wanted to talk to me.
He left his phone on the table. It was ringing. I knew it was him.
I think both of you said that you were sort of, you really enjoyed their little shimmy with Freddy.
Oh, I thought the whole episode was gold.
Yeah.
Honestly loved it. It was clever that they did the quiz where people were possibly going out on phones, like Johnny, he went on his phone, didn't he? And they were like, oh, he's cheating. And I was like, could it be Johnny? And then Freddy was knocking about. It could have been
Josh
him.
Went to the toilets.
Yeah, I props to the script writers. I really, really enjoyed it. Although I had got sick of waiting for this revelation. Tonight was a stonking episode, I thought.
I was confused because I was thinking, just a second, it doesn't make any sense that Freddie is being so kind of like formal with her if they've knocked boots in the last few months. Like it would be sort of odd to be that kind of, you know, away from work, be that formal. So I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And then, of course, immediately Ben wandered out. And then I felt huge disappointment that it wasn't Josh. And I know you two were incredibly excited about it being Ben, but I'll just give you my 10-second reason I'm so upset. It means more Beth. It means lots, lots, lots more Beth. Lots more hand-wringing, tearful conversations. I'm not sure I can take it.
No, she'll be off. Don't worry. I'm very happy it's Ben because she'll be pissed off and disappear.
You think so?
Yeah.
And Chelsea moves into Shula's place and they raise the baby together?
Yeah, hopefully. Do you think if this all pans out, if she has the baby, blah, 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 what do you think of Ben and Chelsea as a couple?
I don't think he's fit to, you know, clean her shoes.
Do you think they could work something out as a pair?
No, she's far too clever for him. He's thick as pig shit. She's bright as a button. She's a very smart girl. I don't know. I don't think it. I think she'd get very bored living with Ben.
Do you think Ben's going to go, get rid? This can't happen.
No, I don't think he will. I think they've been leaning into the Jill relationship quite heavily the last couple of weeks, him and Jill. So I think she's going to be the person he turns to. And And he's going to sort of very tearfully say, I don't want it to happen this way, but I just can't, you know, it's my son. Ugh, I don't want to lose it.
Can I ask you, Peter, why you think Ben is as thick as picture? I don't get that from his character at all.
Okay, perhaps thick is unfair. I don't think he's a particularly flexible or creative thinker. I think he's quite obvious. He's the kind of person who gets all of his opinions from newspapers. I don't think he forms opinions himself.
He's going out with Beth. He must be a bit thick.
I think there's a lot of that as well. Yeah.
And it's all set for a disaster, isn't it? Because she gets back the day before her birthday. Did I hear that
right?
Yeah,
love that, love that.
And they're going to curl up with a cozy evening and a box set.
Let's hope Chelsea lends him the pregnancy test.
She's one boring twat, isn't she? She said for her birthday, you know, there's nothing wrong with a cozy evening with a box set. Not on your birthday, though. And she was already wittering on about a house rota for chores.
Yeah.
Just before she goes to Magaluf. They haven't even properly moved in. Why are you going on about that?
I thought Josh was going to call a house meeting there and just in front of her go, Ben, we need to get rid of Beth.
Also, she was wrong when she's like, oh, we're not just picking our favourite chores. I think I've said this before. I will say it again. Don't try and force this whole kind of everyone has to do the washing up once, everyone has to do the hoovering once. If one person likes hoovering, the other person doesn't, that solves the problem, doesn't it? It needs to be equal volume of tasks, but not like, look at the way we do the podcast. We all do the things we're best at, pretty much. You know, we all lend a hand to each other when we can, but most of the stuff we do on the podcast sort of like falls along lines of aptitude.
Frantically masturbating.
Yeah.
We're all good at that.
Oh, well, yeah.
We've never done it together, but you know.
No.
Who knows?
Not with the cameras on anyway.
Me and Kerry did record in the same room once.
We weren't masturbating.
No, we weren't, no.
My head was buzzing then, trying to. There was some dead seagull joke in there somewhere, but I couldn't make it work.
So anyway, back to baby stuff. Lovely, lovely Alistair. He's been great, hasn't he? He actually just got down. He picked her up on the road, worried about whether she was running away or not. He listened and didn't shout like Tracy, who's been really annoying this week. Mm. I know she's worried and she's a, you know, single mum essentially, blah, blah, blah. But don't keep shouting at your pregnant daughter, which makes her run away, and then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again. Silly. So Alistair was great, I thought. He was very stoic and, right, I'll get you the details. Here are the details. These are your options, which was exactly what Chelsea needed.
Yeah. And also, he dealt with the provocation from big man Jazza quite well.
Mm.
You know, he stood his ground. I don't mean that in a macho way, but he was quite kind of like, you know, just a second, let's look at why this has happened. And she reached out to me. Mm. And, you know, Jazza even then didn't climb down very gracefully.
No, he said, keep your nose out of our business in future. That was a nice sign off to someone who's really helped.
Yeah. Also, doesn't Jazza have a key for Green Acres? Why was he banging on the door? Chelsea let herself in there to watch something with Jim.
Yeah, I think he just stomped out emotionally and didn't pick up the key or something.
Also, wasn't Jazza the one who was all for going and castrating that guy who mistreated Jim? Like, Jazza showed absolutely zero restraint in how he reacted to Jim's news.
And he also wanted to kind of get a car battery, wire up some nails and hammer them into Russ's kneecaps with no evidence.
Well, you know, I mean, I think, you know, like all of us, like most people, I'm a big Jazza fan, but every now and again, it's the paradox of the Archers, isn't it? It's like in real life, I would hate Jazza, but probably quite like, you know, insert name of someone I slag off like Ben.
But the thing is, they really set it up on Tuesday, didn't they? Because Jazza went round there and said, oh, you're a real pal. And he was escaping the whole craziness at Tracy's place. And he said, like, you know, you're a mate, you're really straight with me. And Alistair got a bit uncomfortable, didn't he? And said, oh, I wouldn't go too far. And I think that set it up for him being like, yeah, you Judas. You did know and you were talking to her. But, Chelsea, for God's sake. All she had to do was not mention Alistair's name and she blurted it out. So
Well, they did that with Beth and Ben, didn't they? They laboured through about sort of four or five different conversations the fact that Beth can deal with anything, but no lies. There must be no lies, no hidden truths. Well, and here we are.
Well, the other thing is, how do you think it's going to go down when she gets back? We've been quite good with our predictions recently.
I'm so excited, though. Imagine Ruth and David. Oh, my God.
David quite likes Chelsea, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't think they're planning this to happen, though, like in their
near snobs.
Future. Yeah.
They're all dreadful snobs.
Do you think, will Jill retract the pendant?
The topaz. Yes, that's the first, that's how Ben tells them all. Chelsea walks in with a swollen stomach and, oh, the topaz is now a belly ring.
And do you think they'll call the baby Bev?
Just to help
with
make
the
things...
Ben, Beth, Bess, Beth.
What's the dog called?
Bess.
Bess, that's it, yeah.
I'm trying to think what their couple name would be. It's very difficult, isn't it? Bensie or Chen?
Chen, that's better.
I quite like Chen.
This is going to go like wildfire gossip-wise around the village, isn't it? The scriptwriters are good. I like this. This is satisfying. It's meaty. There's going to be fallout and horror and shock. I like it. Will she keep the baby? That's the next question.
Let's have an advert, Kerry, and we can work it out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Will she keep it? That's the next wonder, isn't it? Will it be actually a baby or not?
Oh, what you think whether it's a human being or not is in question.
Will it be a baby? Yeah. I didn't word that very eloquently, did I?
Hey, so I got some kind of strange gremlin.
Chelsea said it's about that night. Are we still suspecting it was the rave?
I was half hoping it was a threesome earlier and that she didn't know which of like two blokes it was. And someone then on Twitter suggested it was the Gleeson twins.
Yeah, I was about to say, are you angling all of that, the Gleeson twins? They do everything together, apparently.
Should we now listen, not now, but listen back to the rave episode and sort of listen to...
I posted it recently and re-listened to it.
I've listened to it.
How much was it steering towards Ben at that point? Or was it not...
At all. It was very heavily... So Josh mentioned that he was on a promise and Ben was so drunk and then also very over the top and emotional about Beth and how much he loved Beth.
It will have been a really good f*** then, won't it?
Yeah.
Not.
It's, oh my God, poor Chelsea. Ben in tears.
He'd been drinking White Lightning, which is obviously the white cider form of Viagra, because he was off his head, but still going for it.
They were both very, very drunk because he was in pieces. But then it must have been, so either it was a knee trembler before he got that upset, and that's why he was upset, or they went off afterwards, one of the two. But it didn't sound plausible.
What he said to Josh at the end of that episode could have been interpreted as being talking about a girl that he'd just been with. And he said something to the effect of, "She's just gone, and I don't know what to do. It's all a mess." And everyone presumed that was about Beth, but maybe he was talking about Chelsea.
Mm. Well, if he is with Chelsea, then he's a lucky man, because it's a significant upgrade.
Yeah, and the crossing of the two families, the conjoining of those two families, the Horribins and the Archers.
Yeah, well, it's time to decide, David and Ruth, are you a Truss or are you a Tony Benn? That's the question.
Well, one thing we know, Ben was as high as a chancellor at a Queen's funeral.
That's interesting footage, isn't it? What a twat.
Yeah.
He hasn't had much Charlie, has he?
No.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? To those that know, it's so bloody obvious, isn't it?
Yes.
The crazy thing is, it's the second most embarrassing thing he's done in 2 weeks. And it was still absolutely shameful.
What was the other thing?
His budget today.
Sorry.
Throwing the country down the drain. I'm so glad that I'm in the country as the end of days is happening.
Matthew with his Euros. Yes.
Yeah, listen, if Dan doesn't strangle Putin soon, we're going to have a nuclear apocalypse, aren't we?
Well, that's a worrying thing. I've let everyone know I'm in the country and they might come for my Euros now.
Well, you know, get some gold teeth knocked into your head. Get it all, you know, nice and safe. Twitter. What's been happening? Where do people go? What's the address?
The address is, I like that, the address, at the Cider Shed Pod. Oh, it's been electric this evening. Do go and have a look and tell all your friends. We've had some really lovely reviews as well. 3 new reviews. Thank you, Blink2105, who described us as a must listen. And they recently listened to the Andonis Anthony episode of the Cider Shed and loved it. We then had The Zulu Warrior. It was entitled A Voyage of Discovery. Love this. Bit of a different style and take on the Archers. Very irreverent. And some great stuff and thoughts. Keep going. The one that's Peter's favourite, Matthew loved it too, was by Jim17/08. And they've written a reasonably good podcast dissecting the Archers with a thumbs up. Love you, Jim.
Very accurate description. Yeah. I don't think we can go any higher or lower than that. Matthew, what about the Facebook and the Instagrams?
Facebook, we have a group called the Cider Shed Podcast, and Instagram is the same as our Twitter, at the Cider Shed Pod. Got a few sound clips up there. One of the ones that was getting a lot of love was the Chelsea growl that we attempted back at the end of July. Obviously, there's been a lot of Chelsea growling recently.
Yeah, I've got to give mad props to Shambridge for amazing Chelsea impersonation.
She was ridiculously kind enough to give ours 10 out of 10, which I just think is like a pity vote, really, isn't it?
Yeah. She's a very lovely woman.
And in Matthew, football's back on, which, how am I doing? Am I climbing the table?
Well, you're not going anywhere because it's the international break, Peter, and we don't need to talk about it.
Oh, all right. Is it the international break?
Italy, England tonight, isn't it? I don't know what's happening in that.
No, I think my relatives are downstairs watching it right now.
Well, I did actually listen to about 6 podcasts about football this week, so knows how I've forgotten that it was not happening this weekend. But yeah, so anyway, my blushes have been spared. We're off to listen to the rave again and check out one last time if Ben and Josh did leave any clues. So have a lovely week, everyone.
Yeah, see you next week.
I'm off to drink some White Lightning and go over the adjacent field. See you, everyone. Bye.
See ya.
So, as often happens, once recording finishes, talks continue after the stop button has been pressed. And Peter disappeared for certain reasons. He didn't want to hear the call of a great tit so that I was playing. So he turned off the recording. But me and Kerry got chatting and we thought, hang on, bloody hell is going to happen with Vince.
Yes.
Father of Beth. He's only just put the f***ing solar panels on Brookfield's roof.
He's not going to be a happy bunny at all, is he? I mean, the devastation generally of the gossip and so on is going to be rife and great, but Vince / Mince Casey is going to go nuts, isn't he? And I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, Steph is going to all be forgiven with Steph as well, because then, you know, it was the idea that it was all Steph and none of it was Ben. And now he's gone and got Chelsea up the duff. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. The other thing that really annoyed me that we didn't talk about was Kerry didn't hear this, but I heard Lizzie tonight saying if Russ came anywhere near Lower Loxley, she'd run him over in his car. Now, I'm willing to, as I only listened once whilst frantically cooking in the kitchen, that may not have happened. Kerry doesn't remember it. I maintain it did. I will go back and listen again.
I believe you. Sometimes when I'm doing the tweet along, you're so busy sort of typing hot tweets that you miss stuff. So, yeah, I had no memory of Lizzie appearing whatsoever. But
the thing that really stuck in my craw, and this is the other thing that we talked about, this is the initial thing we talked about off air, Kenton and David talking about Russ. Now, you know, we all know Russ, controversial character. Yes, he did wrong in the first place, etc. But as a character in The Archers, he's comedy gold.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenton and David and Josh at one point are discussing Russ in a very negative way, and the fact that Lily and him have broken up and they don't really know the details, but she's done well to see the back of him. But the reality is that they don't know that Tracy has falsely accused Russ of getting Chelsea pregnant, which Lily then witnessed, then confessed that she was unfaithful to Russ.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they broke up. But it's in fact Kenton's nephew that has got...
He's knocked up a 17-year-old.
Yeah, and David's son.
How judgmental will they be now?
Yeah, I know. Vince is getting up on the roof right now with a chisel.
To take down his solar panels.
I also offered an opinion, and this will probably make sure that Peter definitely doesn't include it. I thought Ben and Chelsea would be quite a good couple.
Yes, I know. That was why I was sort of saying, oh, what do you think they would be like if they actually did make a go of things? They could be. I mean, in the future, maybe not now, but maybe in the future.
Yeah. So will Vince go nuts? Yes, he will. Mm-hmm. Surely.
Yeah.
Going to be very... Or maybe he'll just come round and hug David and Ruth more. Or maybe he won't have time because he's just... We haven't heard of him in a while, so I assume he's permanently pissing into a toilet.
Oh.
Also, I might have been completely incorrect about this, but the awkward 2018 family Christmas at Brookfield, I believe it was, when Russ went round there, I think it was Rory that was taunting Russ, singing Mr. Jones to him. And now Rory is in his very late teens, possibly just on the cusp of 20, and he is now shagging for money with someone in their possibly late 40s or
Did
beyond.
Did you say 2018?
2018 was...
Good grief, that feels like so long ago.
Yeah, well, that was the first year the Russ and Lily story came into it, so...
Blimey.
Anyway,
David, we better wrap this up or else it will never get included.
I know.
But these afterthoughts that we're so looking forward to panning out in future episodes of The Archers.
Uh-huh. Okay, right. Apologies, Peter, for having that moment there, because we were so wrapped up in the Shula and Dan hate that we forgot to talk about the actual characters.
Yeah, come on, Vince.
The real characters.
Sock it to the archers.
All right. Laters.
Bye.
Hang on.